Let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And while you're turning, let me just say it's good to see Janet Bryant back with us today. And she and that family have been in our prayers, and she handed me this note and asked me just to share this with everyone. For each and every gift of the heart that you have shown for our Tom over the years, months and days and hours, we want to thank you. Tom loved you deeply, and we love you deeply, Janet and family. I have been encouraged throughout the years I've served here at the the way in which this congregation has demonstrated love for families in need, and most recently in this case, and just feel very confident in the love and the way this church demonstrates love for those in times of sorrow and in times of loss and times of need. And that's as it should be, as a church family reaches out and loves one another. This morning, we're going to look at a person that we otherwise might never even notice. We've all heard the name of Barnabas, but I suspect that most of us would be hard-pressed to describe him or to say much about him from Scripture, although he appears all over the book of Acts. He was a church member, but like so many church members, he did what he did behind the scenes, largely. It was not always noticed by everyone. But I think that we can gain much by looking at this man Barnabas. Here in Acts chapter 11, Holland read for us the passage that describes him as a good man and describes a little bit of the characteristics. Read with me again from verse 19. It says, after the first persecution, the church was scattered. It says that there now they had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of the people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. In the early church, the gospel originally went to the Jews. Last week we saw how it bridged there with Peter going to Cornelius into the Gentile world, and from there it would begin to spread to all the nations of the earth. That first outreach began north, all the way up the coast, the city of Antioch, and there the first of the Jewish Christians began to freely circulate among their Gentile neighbors and began to reach out to non-Jewish citizens there in the city of Antioch. The church began to grow. The leaders in Jerusalem wanted to send some good men up to help them in that work, and Barnabas was chosen. It says when Barnabas came there in verse 23, he was glad at what he saw, and he encouraged them. Now, that word becomes synonymous, really, with Barnabas. Barnabas was a man who was tremendously encouraging to be around. The apostles gave him a nickname, and the nickname that they gave him was Son of Encouragement. Back in Acts chapter 4, we first read about him there, and his real name was Joseph. He was a Levite from the island of Cyprus, and it says the apostles called him Barnabas, and that literally means son of encouragement. So that became his name. Even though his real name was Joe, he was the son of encouragement, Barnabas. He had to have been a very upbeat, positive kind of an individual. He was the kind of guy that just kept on keeping on, as we're going to see. One of the great NFL quarterbacks of a bygone era was a guy named Bobby Lane. Some of you remember him. He is today remembered in the National Football Hall of Fame. And he was so positive, and he had such a can-do attitude that a statement was made about him that has forever been attached to him. And that was this: Bobby Lane never lost a game. The time just ran out. And that was the reputation that man had. A great positive attitude, an encouragement to all he was around. Now, I want to just ask you all a question this morning. How would folks describe you? Everyone either falls on one side of the spectrum. Either you are an encourager or you are a discourager. And some people might say, well, I'm probably in the middle. You can't be in the middle, really, because everybody needs encouragement. And if you're not giving encouragement, if you're just neutral, then that lack of encouragement actually is a discouragement in people's lives. We all need encouragement. Would people say for you work that you are an encouraging person to be around or a discouraging person to be around? How would your family describe you? Would they say, well, what an encouraging dad I have. What an encouraging mother I have. What an encouraging sister or brother I have in this individual. We want to look at Barnabas because Barnabas really does personify this encouraging spirit. And I think as we look at him throughout the book of Acts here today, we're going to be able to see some things about him. One of the things about Barnabas that is true of every encourager is this. He was always ready to step forward and come to the rescue. He was what in today's parlance we call a first responder. I know when the tornado hit Joplin several years ago, we loaded up a group the next day and headed over there and were involved in search and rescue. And as we traveled down the interstate, the highway was literally filled with church vans from all different churches, all headed to Joplin to be part of that first responder group. Now, if you had been in that tornado, you would have been thrilled to see the number of folks that were rolling into your community to offer assistance in every way they possibly could. Those on the front lines, not that came a week later or 10 days later, although those were necessary, but first responders are folks that are needed in times of crisis. I'll look back in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. There in chapter 4, there's a description of this man, Barnabas. And down in verse 36 and 37, it describes him. Now, in those early days, all the Christians had come to Jerusalem. Many of the Jews had come to Jerusalem for Pentecost, and then they'd become Christians, and they were all still there gathered, and there was excitement. There was a great financial burden that was placed upon the host families there in Jerusalem. And so Barnabas saw that financial need, and notice what he does here. It says in verse 36 of Acts 4, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. He sees a need. He says, they need some financial help. I own a field. I'll go sell that field. He immediately sells it, brings the money and says, here, you fellas use this in whatever way you need to use it. That's what you call a first responder. You know something about Barnabas? He still owns that land. It says he sold it, but the only things that we get to keep as we pass through this world are the things that we send on ahead as gifts. You don't need permission to meet needs that you see around you. And I'm grateful for many of you who have this same attitude that Barnabas had to respond to needs that you see. And it's wonderful to know that sometimes by the time I hear about some situation that's happened, there are already three or four that are there taking care of the need that exists. In a moment, our elders are going to share with us the opportunity we're going to have to help meet some needs. Again, this tornado season down in Arkansas and other places, and this church always rallies to needs and helps very generously whenever these kind of situations occur. There's another characteristic that is true of those who are encouragers, and that is that they typically are bridge builders. Barnabas certainly was. Look over in Acts chapter 9 at an incident there. Again, I say, Barnabas just surfaces all through the book of Acts, and we see him in different situations. Here in Acts chapter 9, go down to verse 26. There in verse 26, it's speaking about Saul. Saul, the persecutor of the church, now become a Christian, and yet his bad reputation preceded him. These Christians didn't trust him. They had heard about all the awful things he had done. And it says in verse 26, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Somebody believed in him. Somebody was willing to bridge that gap and make the introductions and stand up for him, and that somebody's name was Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He built a bridge between this man who was alienated from the Christian community, and he brought him in to the group. You know, in any church, and it's true here at Sunset, assimilation is one of the greatest needs we have. We are a growing congregation, and we have new people who come to be part of this church on a regular basis. We have new Christians. And one of the things that church growth people will tell you that is if folks do not get plugged in and do not meet people within the first weeks and months of their arrival in a new place, if they're not put to work, they very easily can begin to drift right back out those same doors they came through. Everyone wants to belong. Everyone wants to feel needed. And new folks, new Christians, can have a difficult time, even in a loving congregation of people. Most folks would come in, they'd love to be part of that gathering, and they'd love to stand around in a group after church and laugh and talk like they see other groups doing. And they'd love to be asked to participate in some activity. And that's our job as encouragers in the church. And again, I'm grateful for those who are involved in this bridge-building task. Those of you who are involved in the ministry of hospitality, having people into your home to get to know other folks and introducing new families into the church family. Barnabas didn't just leave it at an introduction, though. Look over in chapter 11 of Acts, down in verse 22. It says there, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. That was that the Gentile congregation was beginning to become part of the church in Antioch. They sent Barnabas to Antioch, and when he arrived, he saw evidence. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and great number of people were brought to the Lord. And then it goes on, talking about that Antioch church that was beginning to grow because it was reaching out to other peoples besides just Jewish peoples. Look what he does now, verse 25. Barnabas went back to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Not only does he make introductions for Saul, the renegade, now he goes and gets him and says, I need you. Will you come help me? And for a whole year, Saul is involved in helping teach these new Gentile Christians in Antioch. What a blessing Barnabas was in his ability to build bridges. You know, he was an ideal team player. He was a first responder. He saw needs and met them. He was a bridge builder. He helped other folks get involved in ministry. And then there's another aspect of Barnabas's encouragement. He was a volunteer. He made himself useful wherever he was needed. Look over in chapter 13, another place Barnabas just pops up in the book of Acts. In chapter 13 it says, in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, and then he's first listed on that list of prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. You know what we call that? The first missionary journey. Barnabas was selected by the Holy Spirit. That early church in Antioch was the first missionary church, sending a team out to plant new churches in the Roman Empire, and they were going to be going into areas that had never been reached before, and Barnabas was ready to go. He was tapped for this tremendously important responsibility, and he says, here am I, send me. He's ready to go out. Wherever I'm needed, I'll go. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do. Every year there's a humorous award that's given. This team searches workplaces and they ask for submissions, and it's called the National It's Not My Job Award. And it's the funniest story that comes in, and there are numerous humorous stories that's usually reported on television and radio. But you've been in places like that, haven't you? You've gone in and asked for help. And the attitude in some places, that's not my job. You need to go ask this person. And then they say, no, that's not my job. You go ask this person. You think, does anybody here work? Does anybody here care? It's not my job. That was the opposite of the attitude that Barnabas and encouragers like him have. The last place that attitude should surface is in the church. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the writer there had to write to a group of Christians and encourage them to step up to the bat and step up to the plate and get involved. He said, though by this time you ought to be teachers. You ought to be serving in some new areas. And that's part of our Christian life. If we want to be encouragers, we're always to be growing and moving into new areas of service. There's a need for growth and taking on new responsibilities. You know, everybody here probably has a short list of people that you could call on. I hope they're some of your brothers and sisters in time of need. If you need to move, we had a call this past week in the office. Dwight got the call from the son of the Gooches. They moved on Saturday. They left and headed down to Houston, Texas to be near John and his family. And we're all so sad about this sudden departure due to health concerns. Got the phone call, and Dwight said, I wonder who I can call. Well, he called several, and the ones he called all said yes. And you've got a short list of folks like that that you know you can depend on. If your car breaks down, if you've got a crisis, if you need a strong back to help you do some moving, there are some folks that you can call on. And those are folks that are always ready to encourage and always ready to volunteer and always ready to step up to the plate and help. And that's what Barnabas was. And then there's a last quality I want us to consider, and I think that this is such a crucial quality among those who would be an encouragement, and that is Barnabas was a forgiver. You know, we all need forgiveness. We all make mistakes. We all do things that are wrong. Look over in chapter 15. He surfaces one last time here in the book of Acts. In chapter 15, down in verse 36, Paul and Barnabas had gone on these missionary trips and done so much good, and the kingdom was growing. They took a young man named Mark along with them on one of the trips, and Mark just didn't work out. He was young. He must have been fearful. Halfway through the trip, he said, "Guys, I want to go home." And Paul was not very happy with that at all. And he turned around and he did. He went home. And so as they got ready to go on the next trip, he changed his mind. He said, "I want to go this time." Paul said, "No, you're a quitter. We do not want you on our team. You're a quitter." And it describes this situation here in chapter 15 down in verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." And Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, along with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went on through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Barnabas wouldn't give up on Mark, even if it meant separating from his partner in the gospel, Paul. But he took that young man who had, for whatever reasons, deserted them, and he gave him a second chance. You know, we need encouragers who give folks second chances. I've needed a second chance a few times, haven't you? I'm grateful to those who've helped me, even though I maybe have let them down in the past. You know, it's like Jesus, who had that woman caught in adultery, and he gave her a second chance and put her on the right road again. Probably my favorite football story is one I've shared here before about Roy Riggles. He goes down in history as making the worst mistake in football, college football, of anyone else. Roy played back in the 1929 Rose Bowl game. The footage of that is still on the internet, and you can pull that up and see the worst football mistake ever made in the history of college football. He played for the University of California at Berkeley, and they were hosting Georgia Tech for the Rose Bowl game that year. And they were down near the end zone. Georgia Tech fumbled, and Roy picked up the ball and was hit by some players and spun around, and instead of running the direction he should have run the ball, he ran the wrong way, all the way down the field. And the crowd was yelling at him, "Stop, stop, you're going the wrong way." His coach, Coach Price, he said, "I couldn't believe what I was seeing." And some of his own men were running down the field, and they were trying to catch him so they could tackle him before he ran across the opponent's goal line. Just before he got down there, they managed to get him and got him on the ground, and he was humiliated. Georgia Tech kicked the ball, and it was halftime, and Georgia Tech was now 2-0 against the University of Southern California. They went in the locker room, and Roy later described it, and his words are recorded for posterity. He said, "Coach, I can't go back out there." He said, "I have ruined you. I've ruined myself. I've ruined the University of California. I couldn't face that crowd to save my life." And Coach Price's words are also recorded. He said, "Roy, you get up and you go back out there. The game is only half over." And he did. And he did well. And he played a distinguished football career for the rest of his time there at the university. Now, he'll forever be remembered for that one mistake. But Coach Price later on was interviewed and said, he said, "It was a mistake anybody could have made." Boy, now, isn't that the kind of coach you want? I mean, I want a coach like that who says, "You get back out there, the game's only half over. Anybody could have made that mistake." And we need to be that kind of coach for others in our lives. Years later, the Apostle Paul had grown old. He was in prison. He needed help. And he wrote a letter to Timothy. And he says sad words. He said, "Only Luke is with me. He'd been deserted by many of his brothers as he was there in the prison in Rome. Only Luke is with me. And so he has a request for Timothy. He says, Timothy, get Mark. Paul, I thought you didn't like Mark. You wouldn't let him go with you on that missionary journey. You said he's a deserter, he's a quitter. But now he writes, and he says, get Mark, Timothy, and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I wonder how Mark learned to be helpful. He had a Barnabas who said, you get back in there. The game's only half over. And Mark learned the lesson that second chances offer to those who fail. Mark not only was helpful to the Apostle Paul, he went on to author the second gospel that we have in our collection of the four gospels. Everyone needs encouragement. One wise person penned these words, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will never forget you. Would to God that we could be encouragers, that we could step up to the plate, be volunteers, be bridge builders. The greatest encouragement you can give anyone is to introduce them to Jesus Christ, the best friend we could ever have. This morning, we're going to sing an invitation song, and if there's anybody here who needs to be encouraged to do the right thing, we're going to sing a song, and it's a song of encouragement. It's a song to maybe let you encourage you to let go of the back of that pew if you're afraid to come down front. And let me just say this to anyone, if you're close to responding in faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I remember myself as a young boy wanting to be baptized and being scared to do that. If you read through the book of Acts, you know how many people there responded during Sunday morning worship service? None of them. One dead in the middle of the night, one dead out on the road to Africa on the Gaza Strip, all different places and times of the day. So if there's ever anyone who is just so afraid in front of a big crowd to come down front and be baptized, I hope you'll remember the examples in the book of Acts and just give somebody a call. Many times we meet up here at the building when there's no one here. It's just a small gathering to witness this event. It's wonderful if you feel confident to come down in front of a whole group because we're all greatly encouraged when that happens. But let me just say that by way of encouragement to anyone who may be at that point. Also this morning, if there's anyone here who needs prayer, we pray regularly for people who come down asking for prayer, and we want you to leave encouraged today. If you need to come, we invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing.